Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Wheat Among the Tares. We appreciate you joining us this morning. We're here every Wednesday morning, 9 a.m. Eastern time for this program, and we are live from Lexington, South Carolina. We again thank you for joining us this morning. It's a blessing to have everybody aboard. A couple of stories. Actually, it's two stories, but I've melded it into one, and we're going to be dealing with that in just a second. And I want to remind you, we do have a special guest in the studio with us this morning, Brother Carl Baker. I'll be bringing him in just a moment. We're going to be continuing our discussion of church history. And it was received with such resound, if I can use that word. And so we're going to be continuing that in just a moment. So I want you to stay tuned. And by the way, if you're listening and you want others to partake of this, pick up your phone right now, do whatever you need to do to let them know and call them and get them to tune into GGR as well. And we know that it'll be a blessing to you this morning. Here's one story in two, or two stories in one, however you want to put it. Right now, we have two governors in the state of, the United States that are still, believe it or not, after everything that has come down from the Supreme Court on at least 10 different occasions, we still have two governors, the governor of Illinois and the governor of Maine, that are still fighting the situation with their overreach when it comes to COVID requirements, regulations, and just basically their whim of what they're wanting to do with regard to exercising their powers against the churches. And so I want you to pray specifically the state of Maine, Governor Mills there, Janet Mills, and also Governor J.B. Pritzker in the state of Illinois. Both of these governors have relaxed their requirements. That's the good part. But the other side of the coin is that the cases that Liberty Counsel filed against them, they're saying now are moot and should just be done away, but it still leaves the door for them to once again implement anything that they think from a COVID standpoint and the, quote, safety and health of others to be implemented at their whim again. Well, what Liberty Counsel is trying to get them to understand, and they want the Supreme Court to get these governors to understand, is that their caprice of implementing their regulations, et cetera, is totally unconstitutional. So that's what they're wanting to do. And these two governors are just saying, well, we've basically let the churches go to meet again, and any cases against us are moot, just do away with them. No, that is not the case. And that's what Liberty Counsel is trying to bring to focus here, is these two governors must be held accountable, number one, and number two, that they're arbitrarily enforcing things at what they deem at a whim needs to be done away with too. Other governors across the country have gotten the message. Governor Newsom in California, he got the message to the tune of $1.35 million. So that in itself was enough to my mind, think, you know what, they are wrong and they need to admit that. But, you know, pride goeth before destruction, the Bible says, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Certainly we need to pray for our fellow brethren in Illinois and Maine, that these two governors would finally get the message and that the Supreme Court of the United States would give them that undue message of saying you're wrong and you need to keep your hands off God's people. And with that, again, I wanted to bring those to your attention this morning and to trust that you will pray for those situations there. Again, want you to call those that may need to hear this morning. Brother Carl Baker is with us in the studio this morning. 2 weeks ago, brother, we started a conversation with regard to church history. And, brother, it was kind of birthed out of uh, our our Tuesday night Bible Institute situation, where we got to talking about, you and I were talking about just the whole thing of the fact that people don't remember their history. And all through the scriptures, God tells us to remember. And that is a key word. In fact, I'm going to read a verse, and we're going to jump into things here. But in Deuteronomy 32, verse 7, and if you're driving along, don't try to read with me here, but Deuteronomy 32, 7, it says this, "Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee." Now, Brother Carl, I don't know about you, but that tells me really quickly that if our elders forget our history, then certainly the generations following are not going to be able to base anything off history because they won't know it. That's the truth or not?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You can see that in our generation today. You take a look at the churches. They used to teach church history to the congregation, and they would quote the church fathers and such as that, and the struggles they went through to not just preserve the word, but preserve the church and its standards and everything else.
Yes.
To their generation. That's not being done today. Today, if you'll notice this right here, it's give up the old paths and get into the new ways and everything else, where the foundation of what we have is kind of like even in America. People don't know the Constitution. They don't understand the founding fathers and what it, the purposes and the Bill of Rights and things like that. They don't understand the importance of having a republic rather than just a democracy.
Right.
And so same thing within the church. The church, if it forgets, you know, it's the old saying, this right here, those that forget history are forced to repeat it.
Yes.
The only thing is, when you repeat it, it's usually in a worse situation where that it becomes more oppressive in your time because you didn't remember those things to try to reestablish them. Things that are not used are lost. And not only that, but especially when you begin to let corruption come in, how many times has compromise proved to us over the years? How many times has it proved to us that you can't get back what you compromised away?
It's called lost ground.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. And so when you talk about not knowing the history of our forefathers, people ought to, they don't read anymore like they used to, Brother Blake. They just don't read. They don't read. We used to, when we were growing up in Christianity, and I'm saying this only been 40 years, 40 to 50 years.
Yes.
We were taught in church and everything else to read missionary books. The missionaries, Jonathan Goforth and C.T. Studd, and the lives of these missionaries, William Carey, the father of modern missions.
Yes.
We were told to read, Susanna Wesley, books, our wives and such as that would read books about women, godly women.
That's right.
That had an effect upon this world and surrendered their lives to God and such as that. But they were the examples and the foundation of what was the real window of the faith that was being preached to us. And you know what? We've lost and closed up the windows and darkened those windows to such a point where that our young people, they don't even know who we're talking about when we talk about, George Whitfield, Sam Jones, they don't understand the old evangelists, even whether they were Methodists or whatever. They don't understand the Wesleys. They don't understand where some of their hymns came from. But we were given an understanding of that so we could appreciate those things that
Amen.
We had.
That's
that,
right.
That helped mold us, because you know what? It gave us the example of what the scriptures had to say about those subjects.
Brother, the whole gist of Hebrews chapter 11
yes.
is what is called the hall of faith. And God put that in there under the inspiration, as you have very well been putting it on Tuesday night in our institute, of the preservation of the scriptures and how that God inspired the Apostle Paul to give us Hebrews chapter 11 and the history of the saints that went before us. And I firmly believe with all my heart that God put it there for the purpose of us knowing the history of these men and that how God worked in their lives. And conversely, for instance, I'm holding right now a biography of John G. Patton,
right,
who was a missionary to the cannibals of the South Seas. How many people in history have ever even heard of John G. Patton?
That's right.
And, you know, I dare say if we had even a poll done out here amongst the 200 plus at Gethsemane on Sunday morning, how many people will really know about John G. Patton? And I'm not saying, to condemn them. I'm just saying most people, that you said it himself, they don't read. And number two, many of these books have just gone out of print. And thank God for those that are still printing these types of books. But brother, it's just the whole gist that God gave us the history of men. And you said it before we were on the air, how that God is, there's nobody as modern as God, and certainly knows everything there is to know about everything, but he has given us, number one, the command to read and to understand our forefathers and what went before us. Where are we failing with regard to that?
Well, let me say this. God is not going to use an iPhone at the White Throne Judgment. And that's in the future. God's going to open the book that he gave us. Jesus said, one shall judge you in the last days. The words that I have spoken shall judge you.
Yes.
Every idle word that men shall speak, they'll give account thereof in the day of judgment. But the comparison will be our works according to the works of what he said, the scripture said that they ought to be. So when if God is going to use the book, and not only that, but the Psalms tells us in Psalms 138, God has exalted his word above his very name.
Amen.
You know, there's something different about going to church. And look, this is my first experiences as far as radio is concerned. And I know this right here, that a lot of people may listen to the radio and listen to radio program just like I did when I was growing up too. I like Oliver Green, Bob Jones Jr., Senior, and Russell Roloff. I mean, the Family Altar program. We grew up on listening to radio, and what a blessing it was to listen to it. But you know what? I've been to some of their meetings, and I'll tell you this right. There's a difference when you do something in person. There's something different just about the Bible. God wrote a book.
Amen.
I'll tell you this right here. If you'll take that book and reverence it in the fashion that God expects it to be done, I'll tell you this right here, you'll get so much more for it, from it. It's like people skipping church and listening to GGR radio. I'm not going to say you're not going to get the message, but I'll tell you this right here. There's something about the spirit of obedience and those things that God tells you to do, like not forsaking yourself together with them, with believers as the manner of some is.
Mm-hmm.
And even so much more as you see the day approaching.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you, if you obey the word of God, and not only that, but read it. Read it. Take it and read it yourself. God gave you a book for a reason. And if there's one way that the devil's going to do to get rid of this book, I'll guarantee this right here, it'll be through those mechanisms that are not books. And you know something? They can cut it off anytime they want to. And I'll tell you, I've seen it where that one day maybe the internet might get shut down. But I'll tell you this right here. If you've still got your Bible on the shelf, I'll tell you what, drag it off and read it,
because
it'll be the same then as it was right now.
It will be for sure.
Amen.
My son just texted me, Banner of Truth is an excellent resource.
Amen.
For Christian history, and certainly the need to read is so sorely needed today.
Absolutely.
In the body of Christ. Brother, going back to, again, just the history of the churches, we've mentioned names before we went on the air, the Wesleys and George Whitefield and others. And many people today, they don't know. It's twofold in my mind. Number one, they don't know where to go with regard to the reading resources. And again, some of these groups that I just mentioned are great resources. But the desire to even know, I think has so been it's so been permeated in our culture today. It's saying, well, you really don't need to know about the old paths. You don't need to know about that because those are things that are past and they have no influence on us whatsoever. It's rather the current and the things that we can, quote, change in the future. How much of an error is that in the thinking when we forget those things which are past?
It affects every aspect of your service and your faith. And the reason I say that is this right here. If you don't have a good example of someone that you can emulate, someone that, I'm not saying, you know, put them on a pedestal so high. I'm talking about this right here. Let's say a grandfather or father image, just like in the families today, where that 27% of the white population in America is born out of wedlock with no father image in the house. Single moms, and they call it, and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 75% of the black people in America are born out of wedlock. I think it's like 28% or greater are Hispanic and such as that, are born out of wedlock. Okay, there's no father image to help direct young men in their behavior and how they should think, and not only that, but especially the practice of labors in their life, how dignity means something if you're truly a man.
Mm-hmm.
Those things are missing in the families. Has it affected our country?
Yes.
Well, listen here. What about motherhood? Mama's being out working in the workforce. And I'm not against that. I'm not. If that's what has to be done, especially single mom, everything else, Brother Blake. What I'm trying to say, though, is we need the old mother image that maybe our grandmothers, we look back at our grandmothers and we see the attention that they gave toward holiness and sobriety and those things like that. You know what? It's a shame when we talk more about what grandma was and her influence was to us in our lives than we do our own mothers. And so when you say, what, how does it affect you not knowing the old past? I'll say this right here. The generation of around World War II, around the 30s and 40s and everything else, look at the influence they had on the generation after them until the 50s or 60s came in, when all of a sudden the whole world started to go into hell in a handbasket because of all the changes in morality,
right,
and changes in education and socialistic approaches to life and how to live and behave. And it just... everything is in disorder right now. But look at the generation that was affected by them, by their direct obedience and such as that. That's why the Bible gives us the examples of those good people, good women, good men.
That's right.
That's right. And shows us the contrast to bad women and bad men. Why? Because God's trying to give you the illustration of that, of what character he gives when they obey the word. But we need that example of what that obedience is. And you know what? By studying church history, studying the lives of the missionaries, studying the lives of the mothers that had children and brought them up in the realm of godliness, and dads that you could see were willing to sacrifice their lives and everything that they had so that they could please God. Those things had DeWitt Talmage. Let me give you one illustration, and we'll go to another question.
No, you go ahead.
But DeWitt Talmage was probably the most eloquent preacher that's ever been produced as far as America's concerned. DeWitt Talmage was read in over 3,600 periodicals every Sunday, and his messages were read in this country. People don't even know who DeWitt Talmage is now as far as his church affiliation and such as that. But DeWitt Talmage, being a man of such character that he was in demand not only in America but in Europe as well, to come and speak and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to those churches in the 1800s and early and around 1900.
Mm-hmm.
But in the 1800s, DeWitt Talmage gave his testimony one time, and it really moved my heart. about my responsibilities of knowing the old paths and what's right. He said this right here, that before he ever became a Christian, he never could forget. God used it in his life. He could never forget his mama and daddy in the living room, kneeling by a couch, and both of them praying out loud, and each waiting for the other to have their prayers. And he said he would crawl around as an infant and look up into the face of his dad, and look up in the face of his mom, and see the sincerity and desire that they had, and the openness of their heart that drew him, and he could never forget it. So that when he had a chance to go to a university and become a famous maybe doctor or whatever else, he chose the ministry instead. Mm. And it had such a profound effect upon him. And look at the conversion of the souls and everything else, and effect it had upon him by the example of a godly mom and dad. And you know what? So many people look back. You just be honest with yourself.
Yes.
You look back on your lives and in the history of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And tell me that God doesn't use the example of some godly person in your life that has affected your life right now.
Exactly.
And you know what? Knowing the old paths, knowing the ancestry, and knowing where you come from, and church history, and the sufferings of the church before we could have what we have right now, the sufferings of our country. The patriots are not just found as far as in society. I'm going to tell you something. There's patriots in the church that need to be brought up and reviewed again and renewed again within the thoughts of our young people and in our churches. Preachers need to start using illustrations of the godly people that God raised up for a divine purpose.
Amen.
To help us all as an illustration.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Pastor Carl Baker, former pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Beaufort, South Carolina. And Brother Carl has certainly a vast knowledge of history, of church history specifically, and our country's history. I know you've studied that as well, and you and I have both have bounced things off of each other, Brother, when it comes to the importance of history and understanding of people understanding their need of understanding what has gone before. And you said it yourself, if we don't remember, then we will lose the remembrance. And I mentioned it at the start of the program, how that the Lord himself said to remember. We read in Deuteronomy 32, in Isaiah chapter 46, it says, the Lord said to remember, and certainly the context of the things that are written in the scriptures for us is to be able to look back and see, Moses told the nation of Israel to remember that God brought you out of Egypt and across the Red Sea and the deliverance that God wrought there. And you'd think, how could the nation of Israel and that generation that saw the Red Sea open and they cross over dry shod and they don't get in the wilderness but just a little ways and they've forgotten already. And how, as we as a people in this present generation, if we forget the history that has been given to us, then, brother, we are doomed, and I will use that word, because we fail to remember what God has wrought in the past, how it should encourage us in our faith to go on, and that if we forget, then our lives are going to be void, and they will be of really, brother, what will be the end of the generation if they fail to know their history, if they fail to understand where God has brought them from? To me, it is, in my opinion here, but to me, it is just a life void of any type of savor or flavor when it comes to the things of the past that we can remember.
In Exodus, it says concerning the world that a Pharaoh wrote, was risen up in Egypt, who knew not Joseph. You know what? Our leaders have forgotten our founding fathers and the principles of how the Bible and Christianity had an effect upon their, not just their faith, but their actions of life itself. They've lost. Listen, we have completely left out the teaching of our young people in school of the principles of our nation, how it was founded, and not only that, but the documents and everything else that were written, the Bill of Rights, the Constitution. I made to mention before. Let me tell you, how has that affected us? Let me tell you, there's no way in the world that socialism could be taking such a strong foothold in this country if our young people knew the history of what our country truly stands for.
Amen.
There's no way. And when it comes to Christianity, I'm going to say this right here. Look at what it says. Not just the fact of Pharaoh didn't know Joseph, as far as the world is concerned. But look at this. The book of Judges. When all the judges, when the judges came, the scripture says this right here. When you just read the book of Judges, and you'll see the value of knowing your history.
Absolutely.
Because you know what? There's an example over and over again of the forgetfulness of Israel after God sent them saviors to get them out of the bondage of the oppressing people that they fell prey to. You know what? God would raise them up another judge that he referred to them as saviors in the scripture.
That's right.
You know what? To bring them back in line, and there would be a revival for a certain period of time. But just as soon as they forgot those things that those saviors were brought to power for and how God used them, and not only that, but also the things that put them back into captivity, you know what? They were forced to repeat it again.
Absolutely.
And that's us too. I know this right here. You show me a church where that pastor reads his Bible to his congregation verse by verse and doesn't change the book or try to show out on eloquence or his knowledge and all this everything, but exalts Jesus Christ with the knowledge that he gives him.
Amen.
You show me a pastor that does that and teaches his Bible as being the authority of our learning and the inspiration of it to be those things that make us want to reverence it.
Amen.
Because of where it comes from.
Amen.
I'll tell you, show me a pastor that emphasizes that book and the doctrines of that book and reads the history of people's lives, and you'll find a congregation of people that will begin to start comparing themselves with the illustration of those characters of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
There's a book that's written in the past that I think everybody might ought to take an interest in as far as reading, and it's called Find Yourself in the Bible. You know, the character of what you are, if it's worth anything at all, or if it's worthless at all, you'll find that character in some character of that Bible.
Amen.
And you know what? Find that person that you want to be. Find who you really are, and then find out what you want to be by looking at the character of that person. God's going to show you the failures. He's going to show you that they're all sinners.
That's right.
But he's going to show you this right here, what faith did and obedience did, and understanding of who they were and their care, how it can make a difference in you to conform you to the image that you really want to be if you'll really search it out. But read and study. Jesus said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, you're not going to be a David. You may say, boy, I'm like David. I'm going to compare myself to David. Well, look at how many people compare David when it comes to his adultery.
Yes.
But let me tell you something. If you want to be a David, you really want to be a man,
yes,
then remember this right here. David fought a bear, he fought a lion, and then he fought a giant. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Let me tell you something. You're not going to be much unless you can take the spiritual character of David and the boldness of David and the faith of David. You got to take those things if you want to be a David.
That's right. Amen. Amen. Well, certainly the need of our remembrance of history,
yes,
and going back and taking the time to learn about the men and women that have gone before us, that have left us a record. And God left us a record, certainly, in His Word. And then there have been many, many worthy brethren out there that have left us a legacy.
Amen.
And certainly that we can follow them. Paul himself said, follow me as I follow Christ. And the Apostle Paul certainly left us a legacy to follow. And certainly, Brother Carl, we need to be doing that for sure.
I read a book. It's called Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secrets.
Yes, good book.
You know what? Every Christian ought to put down the trash and stuff that they're reading, and instead of wasting their time, they ought to need to redeem their time and find them a good book to read. I'm going to tell you something that helped me in my Christian life was the Bible and good books.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, you got a choice. Now, you need to pick up some good missionary books of those who sacrificed for God and read them. You'd be surprised how those examples
Amen.
Of what the Bible made those people into will encourage you to let the Bible make something out of you too. And you're right, Brother Blake. We need to get more into the reading and studying of those of the history of our own kind.
Amen. You know, before we went on there, and I'm going to close with this morning, and John G. Patton is a man that's a book that I'm reading right now, and I usually try to keep a missionary biography in addition to my personal reading in the Scriptures. I always have something that I'm reading, and my wife could attest to that. I read this to you before we went on there, and I want to share this with you because here was a man who I mentioned a while ago. He was a missionary to the cannibals of the South Sea, the New Hebrides Islands, and he wrote this. He was struggling with trying to get the Bible into the dialect of the Tanese, which was the island of Tanna in the Hebrides Islands, and it says this. It said it would be difficult for modern readers, blessed with a dozen Bible translations, to appreciate the thrill Patton must have felt when the first words of Scripture rolled through the makeshift press he had assembled on the island. Well past midnight and frustrated after many failed attempts, Patton finally held in his hands a portion of the Word of God in Tanese. Beneath the pall of the moon, as the island slept, he could not contain his joy. And the next thing I'm going to read to you is a direct quote from his autobiography. He said this. He said, I literally pitched my hat into the air and danced like a schoolboy round and round that printing press till I began to think, am I losing my reason? Would it not be like a missionary to be upon his knees adoring God for this first portion of his blessed word ever printed in this new language? Then he said, friend, bear with me and believe me, that was as true worship as ever was David dancing before the ark of his
Amen.
God.
Amen.
And you know, and you think that little excerpt out of that one, out of this one missionary biography here, and most people never even heard of John G. Patton. And I say again, and as you well reiterated there, that we need to be reading about the history of these men and women.
Amen.
Because we can gain such things from their character. And as the Bible says, brother, iron sharpeneth iron.
Yes.
And it certainly needs to be done in this day and age. Brother Carl Baker, it's been a blessing to have you, my brother.
It's been an honor, brother.
And brother, I'm telling you what, we are going to do a round three on this for sure, because it just generates more questions in my mind. But I trust that what you have heard this morning, those who have been listening from Canada and India and Seattle, Washington, and other places around the country, we thank you so much for joining us this morning. It's been a blessing to have you. We're here every Wednesday morning, 9 o'clock Eastern time, for Wheat Among the Tares. Tell somebody else about the program. Join us next week. Pray for us here. May the Lord bless you.